Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Beth Below, and I'm pleased to share that this is the 57th episode of this podcast. There's nothing particularly auspicious about that number, except that I think it's rather amazing. It's amazing to think of all the wonderful guests who've given their time and wisdom, and it's amazing to reflect on how this podcast has evolved over the past 3 years. So I hope that whether you've been listening for a while or if you're joining me for the very first time, that you are inspired and affirmed by what's shared in these conversations. And in the event that you are new to the podcast, I should let you know that The Introvert Entrepreneur is a personal and professional development company. We offer life and entrepreneur coaching for introverts who want to amplify their strengths, as well as extroverts who could use a dose of calm, cool, collected introvert energy. You can learn more at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. What I'm about to share with you will probably cause many of you listening to nod your heads in agreement, so I invite you to listen carefully. I have to admit, there were times over the course of my life, and I've been around a few decades, when even I wondered if maybe I were some kind of cold-hearted snob. Why was I so reluctant to go to parties? And why did I want to leave them shortly after arriving? Why did I get annoyed if a date with a friend turned into a group outing? Why was I so picky about who I spend my time with? Why did weekly check-in phone calls from friends get on my nerves? Why did gregarious people cause me to back away slowly? Why did I like being alone so much? That's the first paragraph of Sophia Dembling's new book, The Introvert's Way, Living a Quiet Life in a Noisy World. If you want to feel like somebody really gets who you are as an introvert, I highly recommend you read this book. As one Amazon.com reviewer wrote, "This book was a blessing on my introspective little heart. Dembling has a unique and quirky perspective of her own introversion and has gifted us with insights culled from years of living against the tide of an extroverted culture." In addition to The Introvert's Way, Sophia is author of The Yankee Chick's Survival Guide to Texas and co-author of The Making of Dr. Phil, the straight-talking true story of everyone's favorite therapist, and I Can Still Laugh, stories of inspiration and hope from individuals living with Alzheimer's. Her essays and articles have appeared in newspapers and magazines nationwide, as well as in such anthologies as Cat Women, Female Writers and Their Feline Friends, and P.S. What I Didn't Say. Hi, Sophia. Welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm really pleased to be chatting with you.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, what is making you smile today?
Well, I have my 22-year-old godson coming for a visit for a few days, and I always enjoy that, and that's making me happy.
Where is he visiting from, may I ask?
He's in Houston, and he's also an introvert, so we get each other.
Excellent. Makes it easy. So speaking of introvert, when and how did you discover that you were an introvert?
Well, it's funny. I always knew I was an introvert, and I've got a psychology degree, and we discussed it there. But it wasn't until I read another writer's book, Dr. Lori Helgo, who wrote Introvert Power, that I began to understand how much it affects everything in my life and everything in my world. And so while I always knew I was an introvert, I didn't really understand what that meant until a few years ago, about 2008.
And how did that knowledge of what it really meant to be an introvert, what did it seem to have the most impact on?
Well, it made me feel better about myself. There were so many things, and I hear this a lot from readers of my blog, that I thought there was something wrong with me. I mean, you know, not liking the telephone is a really big one because it's often presented to us as some sort of moral failing that we don't love people enough if we don't want to talk to them on the telephone. And the more I realized that some of these things were not unusual, were not weird, and were not moral failings, but were simply another way of functioning in the world, made me much more at ease with myself and much less ashamed, frankly, for acting in the way that comes naturally to me.
And so you've taken that knowledge, and you're a writer, and mm-hmm. you've been the author of several books and numerous hundreds of articles, actually, over the years. And you've enjoyed some really great success as a writer. And in order to have that success, you've had to do something that many introverts have a natural aversion to, and that's self-promotion. How do you handle the self-promotional aspects of your career?
Well, for one thing, you have to bite the bullet and just acknowledge that it's necessary And as much as it seems distasteful at times, if you want to succeed, you've got to do it. The other thing that I do is that similar to what introverted actors and actresses do, which is the Sophie, the Sophia that self-promotes is almost a character. It's somebody else. In fact, you hear I said Sophie. I go by Sophie with friends and in my personal life. Sophia is my public persona. And so I sort of step into that persona as I have to promote, and that sort of gives me a little bit of a shield. And, you know, speaking in public, for example, I don't find very difficult because I believe that people are there to want to like me, and so I don't let anxiety get in the way of getting up there and putting on my dog and pony show to the best of my ability.
You make me think of an expression a friend shared with me, pronoia, which is the belief that the universe is conspiring in your favor instead of paranoia. And what you just described about getting up in front of an audience, you know, they're on your side. And that does make it easier.
It really does.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about your most recent book. You have a blog on Psychology Today, Introvert's Corner. And your most recent book is called The Introvert's Way, Living a Quiet Life in a Noisy World. What did you learn about yourself and your fellow introverts in the course of writing that book?
Gosh, I learned so much. And one of the most important things I learned among many was how many different kinds of introverts there are out there. You know, people want to say, well, you can't label, and I'm an introvert, but I like doing this, I like seeing people, but we exist upon a continuum, and there are some people who wouldn't dream of going to a party, and some people who like some parties, and some people who like all parties but have to do it their own way. And so when I started writing it, I had to keep in mind that my introversion is just one form and just one way of being. There's a whole lot of introverts out there, and so what we're doing is sort of laying out these general similarities, and then we all have to figure out where our own thresholds are and where our own strengths are and function that way.
I really appreciate that. That's something I talk about in my public speaking. I say some of this will fit and some of it won't. So you kind of take what works and leave what doesn't.
Absolutely. And some people resent it if they don't think of it that way. They, well, why are you telling me I'm like this? It's like, no, I'm not telling you you're like this. I'm telling you some of us are.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well said. Well, I wanted to focus on one particular chapter that really stood out to me in the book. And it's called, We Didn't Know You Were an Introvert. We Just Thought You Were a Bitch. And I've noticed, you know, on Facebook and in conversations, that comes up so much. People think that introverts are snobby or unfriendly or bitchy just because we're not, you know, throwing ourselves right in there and gushing with excitement. And, of course, this can impact our personal and professional relationships in a rather negative way because people, mm-hmm. you know, have wrong assumptions about us. What advice do you have for the introvert who finds herself the target of these kinds of assumptions?
Well, you know, the first one is what other people think of us is not our problem, but that's sort of facile. That's a throwaway. But the other thing is I think that we have to look to an extent also at how we are presenting ourselves. If we're going to rely on nonverbal communication to sort of represent ourselves, then we want to look about, are we all legs and arms crossed and shutting people out? Do we look unhappy? You know, do we look engaged? Do we look like we're listening, even if we're not participating? You know, the thing is that when people see an empty space, a quiet space, they want to put something in there. And if we don't sort of think about what we're presenting, we're allowing them to substitute their interpretation of us into our quiet space. And so I try to make sure that I'm looking at the person who's talking if I'm in a group, and I seem to be paying attention, and I seem to be thinking about it, and so that it shows I'm engaged even though I'm not talking. And I think that lets people know that you're not stepping back and judging, but you're simply being there in your own quiet space in a friendly manner.
I love that reminder that, you know, where there's a void, people will fill it, and they'll fill it with their own stories and assumptions. I'm hearing, you know, pay attention to our body language and what we're projecting, even if we're not speaking.
Yes, and the times when people speak to you, even if it's not necessarily what you want, friendly, smile, all those kind of silly things that we think, oh, extroverts are so shallow, they do all these things all the time. It sort of lets us get our best side across, even if it's not our most dominant side.
for you, what's the most important thing you've learned in your years of thinking and talking about introversion?
Personally, the thing that's really amazing me is how much once I start thinking consciously about my introversion and working with it with intention, how much easier things get that used to be very difficult. In other words, once I decided I'm not obligated to answer the phone, it becomes easier to answer the phone because I'm doing it as a choice instead of because I feel the world requires it. Once I know that I can leave a party when I'm ready to go, it makes it much easier to go to the party in the first place. So the most important thing I've learned is to sort of take control of my introversion and say, okay, this is who I am. I don't have to apologize for it. I will work with it, and that makes all things easier. And it's really been quite a revelation for me.
That piece about choice is so critical. It can make all the difference, like you said. And it, I think it releases us from feeling like we need to explain ourselves or defend ourselves or make excuses about something.
Absolutely. And it takes away some of the resentment, too, because I hear a lot of resentment and anger. Introverts are really angry towards extroverts. And we only have to resent and be angry if we're letting them tell us how to behave.
So taking back our introvert power, to borrow Laurie Helgo's book title.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for sharing your perspective. You've managed to share some really insightful pieces of information in a very short period of time, which I really appreciate. I mean, it's just clear how much, you know, you have worked on, like you said, understanding and accepting your own introversion, making it work for you, taking control of it, and then communicating that to others. And I just hear a lot of power in what you're saying, and that's really inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I want to ask you a wrap-up question that I ask all of my guests. And as a writer, I don't know if this will be challenging or easy, but if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island and you could only take 3 books with you, what would you take with you and why?
This is such a difficult question. I have to tell you, when I started thinking about it, I would bring a journal, absolutely. I'm a writer. I have to write, and I would go nuts if I didn't have a way of writing, assuming I could also bring a pen. I would probably bring a collection of Edith Wharton, because she's my favorite writer, and I can read her over and over and over again. And I think I might bring a book of poetry, because I don't read a lot of poetry, and it would provide me with a long challenge, because it would give me something to read that would require that I slow down and think about it and keep my mind engaged for that long and pleasant year off.
Yes, absolutely. And you would be granted a pen.
I promise, oh,
or at least several, because over the course of a year, you might run out of ink, you know. may I ask, you know, now that The Introvert's Way is out there, and congratulations on that. It's a beautiful book, and I hope you're experiencing lots of success with it. What's next for you on the, you know, the author writing front?
Well, I started my career as a travel writer, and I still do that, and I have a book coming out in the fall called 100 Places in the USA Every Woman Should Go. So it's a little bit off the introvert track, but then again, I do a lot of travel by myself, so it's a little on the introvert track. And I'll continue. I hope there will be more introvert books in the future. I don't have anything planned yet.
With those 100 places, is there any place in particular that you would recommend that comes to top of mind?
For introverts?
Yeah, for introverts.
Actually, these days, and it sounds a little obscure, but I'm all about the prairie. And I visited the Tallgrass Prairie National Preserve in near Cottonwood Falls, Kansas, in the Flint Hills. And if you want to feel space and solitude and just, you know, the big world, you go out and sit in the middle of a natural virgin prairie. And it's just a physical feeling of unfolding for me. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. It's my new favorite place.
I just got a chill just thinking about that. That sounds wonderful.
It really is.
And just such a way to separate yourself from the hustle and bustle and concrete and noise and everything else.
Yes.
Just connecting,
yes,
with the earth.
It's the opposite of a city.
Yeah, absolutely. So how can people learn more about you and your books and what you have to offer?
Well, I have a website that is just shamefully out of date, but it will send you to other things that I do, sophiadembling.com. I have a Facebook page, Sophia Dembling Writer is the introvert page. And, of course, I hope you'll visit my blog, The Introvert's Corner.
Great. And do you tweet?
I do tweet, yes, at Sophia Dembling. I'm a lot better on Facebook than on Twitter. I'll be honest about that, but I'm out there.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Some people are all about the Twitter. Some people are all about the Facebook.
I know.
You know, Facebook, the pace is a little bit slower. It goes a little bit deeper.
Yes.
Something I appreciate, so... Yeah. Great. Well, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you, and I appreciate all of the insights that you've shared. And again, congratulations on your book, and many wishes for great success.
Well, likewise, I enjoyed it too. Thank you so much.
What was your favorite takeaway from that conversation? Mine was that reminder that we have a choice about how we feel about being an introvert, especially when we're navigating through extroverted waters. Sophia said we'll end up being angry and resentful if we allow extroverts to tell us how to behave. It makes me think of that expression, who's the boss of you? Sophia is reminding all of us that you're the boss of you, and so give yourself a promotion if you need to. Thanks for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your social media networks and consider leaving a review on iTunes or on the podcast webpage. If you want to learn more about my coaching, speaking, and training services, you can find me online at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. On my website, you'll also find information about my first book, Insight Reflections on the Gifts of Being an Introvert, which is available through Amazon.com. I am really super grateful to the close to 8,000 people who have, in the past year, downloaded or purchased Insight. I hope you will join them. Until we meet again, remember that success is an inside job.